Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If you're a guest here this morning, I'm Eddie Hilliard. I'm a lead pastor. Part of the vision of our church is to reach our city to change the world. Well, we have some people on a Peruvian trip going to Peru. I know there's a group of eight of them that went out this week. Was there, how many total do we know on the trip going to Peru from Greenville? 20 or 30 from Greenville here. I know a group of eight of them went out this past week, and be praying for them. They got delayed and got canceled in New Jersey, and then through a series of events, finally got flown in through Dominican Republic. So you had to fly to the Dominican, and then fly from the Dominican to Peru, and their luggage has not arrived yet, hopefully today. So they've had to spend some of their money just to buy some clothes. So just will be something that we can learn. If you're on a plane, always take a change of clothes with you, especially if you're going international on that. So, but pray for them. They're there now. Just believe God that the eight that were on that trip and all the ones that are already there to the medical, that they'll have a great time. So they're there right now. And so I'd like to just take a moment and let's pray for them right now that God would use them to impact Peru in a life-changing manner. So I want somebody to come up and pray. I don't want to pray. You come up here, Zach. I'm going to draft Zach. He actually took some girls to the airport at 3 a.m. in the morning, so he ought to be able to pray. So pray for those ladies. Your right. Sister's there. My daughter was there.
Yeah, my sister's there as well. Father, I just thank you for everyone you called to go on this trip, that you provided money for them to get there. I just pray for supernatural vitality to fill their bodies, God. They spent the past 2 days in the airport and kind of slept, so yeah, God, just empower them, fill them afresh with your spirit, God. I pray for there to be fruit from this, God, just lasting fruit, Lord, that disciples would be made, God, and just encounters with you, Lord, would happen. So we just call on you, God, to change Peru. They're going for one day, God. They have faith, so we just believe for a nation to be changed in one day.
Yes.
So just come in power and meet them, God. Meet every need they have. Just open doors on the campus. We just thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Praise God. We'll keep believing. I'm looking forward to hearing some testimonies of God doing some good stuff. What we're going to be talking about today is Gideon. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I talked about Gideon because I feel like Gideon is such a relatable individual in the Bible. Sometimes when I read about some of the heroes of the faith in the Bible, I feel like, man, there's no way I can live up to that. Because they're such dynamic. They have men of faith and women of faith. But Gideon, on the other hand, to me is more relatable because Gideon has some issues. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say Lydia. My daughter on the front row. It just sort of slips out, Lydia, Gideon. Okay, Gideon. And so he has some real issues in his life. And I would dare say that we all got some issues in our lives. I've got issues in my life. I hope you don't have many, but I'm sure we got them. But the whole story of Gideon is God using someone with weakness and using them and transforming them into something great. And so the historical context of this is Israel has been in a time of suffering and domination by the enemies, the Midianites. Their crops have been destroyed. Their land has been devastated. All their livestock has been taken. And the Bible says there's no substance in the land. In other words, they're going to starve. There's problems happening. They're scared. And then this angel of the Lord, just recapping some from last time, the angel of the Lord came and appeared to him, Gideon, and called him a valiant warrior. Now, Gideon was down beating wheat in a wine press to hide it from his enemies. I don't think Gideon looked like a valiant warrior at that moment. Been times in my life, I didn't feel like a valiant warrior. That's most of the time. But right here, he is seeing something about Gideon, and he's speaking something over him, a faith word saying valiant warrior, because God is seeing something in Gideon beyond what his natural appearance is. He's looking past what he sees, looking into the soul of Gideon. Because there's a scripture that says in 1 Samuel, it says that, for God sees not as man sees, for God looks For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so what I talked about was the need for us to look at people with potential, not look at them with all their faults. We have building hope because we're looking at the potential of West Greenville and the diamonds that God has there, and we're investing in it sacrificially because we believe that God sees something more than we see. When you look at yourself, we don't always feel like we're successful, or maybe we don't feel like we mean much. But when God looks at you, He's not looking at the outward appearance. He's looking at what's inside of you. And He can take what's inside of you and transform you and make you into what He has called you to be. Gideon didn't always have the greatest attitude, but God saw the potential in him. What I talked about last time is we need to look at the potential in people, not always go to the negative in people. What it is about today is everything goes negative. You say one thing out of place and your life is smeared. But we are looking at not looking at the negative, but looking at the potential in people. And I believe as us as children of God need to look at ourselves that way. It's easy for us to look in the mirror and go, I don't feel this way. I don't feel like anything. And that's what the enemy does, what the devil tells us. But we got to look at ourselves that God doesn't see us that way. And we shouldn't see other people that way because everybody's life has value. And every person is created in the image of God. Therefore, we value people. We value their lives. Gideon always, like I said, didn't always have the greatest attitude. He accused God of abandoning them. His faith was not in a great place. Gideon was plagued by self-doubt and fear. He said, I'm the youngest, and my family is the least in Manasseh. In other words, he said, I don't have what it takes. He probably wasn't very gifted. He wasn't flashy. His self-esteem of himself was low. I'm from the most insignificant family. I'm the youngest in that family. But yet God looked at him and said, oh, valiant warrior. He saw something beyond that. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you're from. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter the culture or the country that you're from. God says you are a valiant warrior. And the promises that He makes in this New Testament and in the Old Testament are for every woman and every man of every culture, of every race, creed. That is who you are, I believe. If you're a Christian today through Jesus Christ, you can be a valiant warrior. He struggled with doubts. Anybody ever struggle with doubts? Am I the only one? He really struggled when he was hearing from God. But it is interesting, though. God said, go in your strength, I have sent you. Which shows me is no matter how weak you feel you are, no matter how much doubt you may think, if God sends you and God anoints you, you can do whatever God's called you to do. He was so full of doubt, even after the angel appeared to him, and then the angel left. Well, in a moment he did. He needed a sign, and God gave it to him. God showed him so much mercy. God could have said, boy, I told you, now do it. Or I'm going to strike you dead. But God didn't. He gave him mercy. He gave him grace. He said, all right, I'll give you a sign. And you go through the passages there, and you see a sign that the angel of God did, and then the angel of God left. And then the Lord himself, Yahweh, spoke to him and said, you're not going to die because you saw the angel of the Lord. And so here we see God saying, okay, Gideon, I gave you the sign. Now go do what I've called you to do. He gave him the mercy. Now what I want to do here is we're going to pick up the narrative here from here and see what we can learn from Gideon. That's what we talked about last week. We're going to pick it up from here. There's some things that we can learn from Gideon through this. So Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to study your word today. I ask you to bless it and pour out your grace upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. So in verse 24, we're going to pick it up. He just had a sign that was given to him, as I mentioned. They did a sign to prove that God has proven to him that he's with him. Then it said, then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is peace." The Lord is peace. What the Hebrew here is Yahweh Shalom. This is a title, a name given to God, Yahweh, the God the Father. Revealing, this name was revealing the character of God here. And here's the first time we see God really revealed as peace. Revealed to him as peace. And even today, Shalom is a common term used among the Jewish people in Israel, especially in their greetings and how they speak to one another. Shalom. But we see Jesus in John 14, 27, piggybacking on this God, the peace of Yahweh, Yahweh Shalom, or the God of peace, the peace of Yahweh. And he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you, but let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Now keep it, look at this again. "My peace I give to you." What we see happening here is Jesus is taking on divinity on himself. We've already talked about God the Father being Shalom, Yahweh Shalom. Now he's saying, "I am peace. I give you my peace." So what we see there is we see hidden in plain sight God revealing that he's God. Jesus revealing that he's God in the flesh. We see the Trinity right now revealing itself. John 16 says, "Therefore as I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." So we see God revealing himself to Gideon as peace. We see Jesus also revealing himself that I give you peace. The peace comes through me. Thus, and like I said, hidden in plain sight, revealing his divinity to the people. Now, verse 25. "On the same night, the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old. Pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father.'" You get that? This belonged to his father. "And cut down the Asherah that is beside it." So it seems that Baal maybe was out of stone and they had to drag it down and they cut down the Asherah. "And build an altar to your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner. And take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah which you shall cut down." So in other words, God's saying, "I want you to tear that stuff down. Then I want you to burn it and give me an offering and give me all the glory." "Then Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him, because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, so he did it by night." Catch that. He was too afraid of his own household, his own relatives. Gideon basically made a lot of people mad that night. He made a lot of people mad. So the next day, when the people got up and saw the results, they wanted to kill Gideon. And if it had not been for his father's intervention, they would have killed him, but they left him alone. You have to read through the details of that. But it's interesting to me is the altar belonged to his father. Sometimes when you come to Jesus and you make decisions regarding your life, sometimes it's not going to be greeted always with the greatest of encouragement from your family. They're not going to maybe understand why you're doing and making the decisions that you're making. Because this isn't how they live. And so Gideon had to make a complete shift from idolatry in his family to serving Yahweh. And when you follow after Jesus, there's going to be times when you're going to have to make decisions and take stances that are going to be uncomfortable and people not always agree with you on it. They sure didn't agree with Gideon. They wanted to kill him. But he had to take the stand for God. I remember personally, and here again, I don't expect other people, just share my own journey. I don't expect other people to do or to project my story onto you in any way. We all are called by God to do something for him, no matter what your career is, no matter what you're doing. But I was a college student. God called me to do campus ministry, called me to go into the ministry. It's not something that I wanted to do. I didn't want to do it. I wasn't one of these zealots. Yeah, man, I'm going into the ministry. I wanted to go be in business. And in no way am I saying ministry is a higher calling than CPAs or any. I'm just saying this is my journey, what God dealt with me on. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to follow after that. I wanted to go do what Eddie wanted to do. But he challenged me to go start doing campus ministry. Now, you know, we have some campus ministers around here. And just so you know, they went out and raised their own support to reach the campus. It wasn't, we're not paying them to do this. They're out following after Jesus. You know, my own daughter's not in campus ministry. She's following after the business career because that's where God has called her to be. But I remember saying to the Lord, and I grew up in Wilson County. That's where I get this accent from. And I remember I grew up in my dad's a truck driver, a long-distance truck driver. And if you ever go down the road, those ones that are blowing you as you go, that was him. And then before that, he did some other stuff. We didn't have a lot of money growing up. God provided, we were provided for. I never thought I would went without anything. But I was taught you got to work and earn what you get. And to go do ministry of any kind to me was like, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. And I basically said, as the Lord dealt with me, and here again, this is my personal story. Everybody's got their own story. I said, okay, and I said, now, Lord, my family didn't fight me in it. They didn't understand it at first. But they at least respected God that I was trying to do. And I remember going to the Lord and saying, now, Lord, I have always had to work hard. We've always had, nobody handed us anything. My dad has spent hours working, and I've seen an example of somebody who works hard for the family. If he lost a job, he had one the next day. I mean, he never went long without working. And I said, now, Lord, I got the younger brother and sister. If I go out and raise money, if I go out and be a minister, I have this request of you. I said, I want to make sure that if I ever, now, God, here was when God's, how God was merciful to Gideon. He was merciful to me right here. I said, if I ever have to call up my parents and ask them to pay my rent or pay my utility bill while I'm in the ministry, then I'm taking that as a sign that I'm not supposed to be in the ministry and I'm going to go get a job. Now I'm 55 years old, and I have, in over 30 years, I have never called my parents and asked for one bill to be paid. One bill. Never have I done it. Because God honored my request. Because if you're going to make me do this, Lord, you're going to have to provide. Now we've seen God provide. Somebody told my wife before we got married that she married a minister, she'd never have anything. That's the mentality that they had. Now, at the time, we didn't have anything. And if you saw the apartment I was living in, I couldn't even bring my wife into that apartment. But God provided supernaturally for us. I can tell you story after story of God providing a house, God providing cars, God doing all that. I mean, I'm in my fourth house now. So finally, at 50, I finally got a house that all my children could have their own room. It took time and sacrifice. If you do think, if you're in the ministry, you don't, can't do it. We're not, in this church, we're not about money. We are about the kingdom of God. And you can't always do things expecting something in return other than the glory of God. So I don't do this because I want the money. I do it because God told me to do it. And either way you're called into business, whatever your calling is, let it be for the glory of God. Let your gifting be used for the glory. And if you can make a lot of money in the meantime, praise God. But remember where your source is. And remember whose money it really is when you're doing that. And you're getting all into my business. Yes, I am getting into your business. If God's all up in my business, I can get into your business a little bit. Then if we go on down to verse 33 and through 35, the Amalekites and the Midianites begin to attack. Gideon puts out a call to other tribes to come and help, fight them. One thing I want to point out here is verse 34. And it says, so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He blew a trumpet. When a person becomes a Christian, when a person, what we would say, saved, repented of their sins and come and give their life to Christ, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. They didn't have that benefit of being born again in the Old Testament. So there's a born again, the theologians call it regeneration of the Spirit within you. So every person who is a follower of Jesus, who's repented of their sin, turned a life over to them, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Every Christian lives inside of you. Now in Acts we see where there was this empowerment that followed in Acts chapter 1, where there was an empowerment of the Spirit that came upon them for them to go out and do what God had called them to do. So this happens either when you get saved initially or at some point afterwards, but there's an empowerment of the Spirit. It said the Spirit of God came upon Gideon to give him the authority, the power to do what God had called him to do. Hopefully, as us as Christians, we will have many empowerments of the Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. We need the strengthening, the energy, the joy, the vitality that comes with the presence of God and the Holy Spirit coming into your life and transforming you so you can do what you're called to do. If you're a businesswoman or man and you got a decision to make, call upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus, speak to me. Help me make this decision. Empower me to make this sale. Empower me to change that diaper one more time. Empower me to get up one more time in the middle of the night. Empower me. We need more of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And all we got to do is ask for it. And then we got to pursue after Jesus for that. But it said that the Spirit of God came on Gideon. Came on Gideon. Much more so now in the New Testament. As the Holy Spirit has been poured out, shall we be filled with the power of His Spirit. Now this next verse, we see that doubt once again plaguing Gideon. Then Gideon said to God, "If you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is a dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken." See, he once again is asking God for a sign, but he acknowledges that God's already told him. But God being so merciful, and it was so. And he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece. He drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not let your anger burn against me, that I may speak once more." And he knew that he was on the edge of testing God here. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it may now be dry only on the fleece, and let it be dew on all the ground." God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and the dew was on all the ground. I am amazed at God's patience with Gideon, which gives me courage, encouragement, that my Jesus is patient with me. He's patient with you. If God's going to be that patient, he's already told him, he's already had one sign already from the angel of God. God told him to do it, and he says, "I need a sign." Again, what about the mercy and the grace of God? It's amazing to me. Because when we are faithless, He remains faithful. Have you ever felt faithless? I have felt faithless. But God is always faithful to His children. You don't abandon your children when they're struggling. God is faithful to you. When we are faithless, He remains faithless. Now, as New Testament believers, I don't recommend putting those kind of fleece, throw a fleece out to God. I don't recommend that we walk by faith like that. That's not how the New Testament Christians work. Because in Gideon's situation, it was more of a doubt situation. He was testing God in this. And so for us as New Testament Christians, God has given us His Word. God has given us His Holy Spirit. He has given us internal peace, so that we can approach God and we can approach Jesus. And let the internal leading of the Holy Spirit direct us in how we're to respond to God. And then so then when we pray, we ask God to open the door of opportunity and I'll walk through it. We're approaching Him in a different approach. We're saying, God, I'm trusting You that You're going to do this. And I'm waiting to see, you know, what door You're going to open. But that's not testing God. That's saying, God, I'm going to walk where You call me to walk. I'm going to go after You by faith. As we looking for the confirmation that comes from Jesus. Now, I think we've probably all thrown up fleeces before. One time, it's like you drive by a car lot and you say, if that car there's tomorrow, that same blue car is there tomorrow, I'm going to take that as a sign from God that I'm going to go buy that car. And lo and behold, you go by there and that car's still there. That's what I'm talking about. You're testing God in that. I'm not talking about reaching out to God by faith and saying, Lord, I need a new car. Lead and guide me to where I need to go. You understand what I'm trying to say to you this morning? So we are to approach God by faith. We're to approach God with the internal direction of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. That's how we approach God. Now, I've thrown out fleeces, and by the mercy of God, sometimes He's done it for me. His grace is sufficient, and He will confirm things for us. But let's don't do it in a sense of let's test God in this out of doubt. Then Zerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands. For Israel would become boastful, saying, my own power has delivered me. Now therefore come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, the people are too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Therefore it shall be that he of whom I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. But every one of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, you shall separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink. In other words, some translators say to cup their hands and put water in their hands and drink it like that. Now the number of those who lapped put in their hand to their mouth were 300 men, but all the rest of the people kneeled to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with 300 men who lapped and will give the Midianites into your hands, so let all the other people go, each to his own home. So the 300 men took the people's provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and Gideon sent all the other men of Israel each to his tent, but retained the 300 men, and the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. And it said they were like the sands of the sea. There were so many of them. There are times in life where God will put you in a place that only God can deliver you. You say, I want a miracle. Well, you got to have a miracle situation in order to have a miracle. And when God delivered Israel, He wanted to make sure that He got all the glory, and Israel wasn't competent and said, well, we did this ourselves. That's why He limited it to 300 over thousands of individuals, because God wanted to get the glory. And I'm going to say it again. God will put you sometimes in situations where it looks like nobody can help you, only Jesus can help you. I don't want to hear that, Eddie. It's life. If you're going to serve out there, there are going to be moments where only Jesus can do it. And right here, only God was going to do this for Gideon. Only God was going to do it. Let me go ahead and read the rest of the story to you as we are coming in here to the close. It says here that, now the same night came about that the Lord said to him, arise and go again to the camp, for I have given it into their hands. And here we see a whole situation where Gideon, once again, needs a sign. And God says, if you're still afraid to go down with your servant, go down there. And so you can hear to the outpost, and he heard him telling a story. The guy had a dream, and in the dream, it said that Gideon was going to conquer them. Pretty much said that. And then he had confidence, and he went, and they did it. He said he heard the account of the dream, interpretation, he bowed in worship. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands. And it says that he took three, he divided his forces, 100 each. He put a pitcher in their hand with a torch in it, covered up, and a horn in the other hand, one of those ram's horns. By the way, ram's horns have been a big part of Israel's history of warfare and worship. And so he surrounded them, and then when he called upon them, they broke the pitcher. The torch came out. It said night. They blew 300 horns, and it so looked like there were so much more of them than there were that it scared the enemy. They ran and fled, and they had a great victory and a great slaughter. God did something powerful. That horn. We see them blowing the horn throughout the Old Testament and worship. Joshua and all those times. And then in Judges 8:23 it says, so Midian was subdued before the sons of Israel, and they did not lift up their heads anymore, and the land was undisturbed for 40 years in the days of Gideon. In other words, God took Gideon, who was fearful, doubtful, scared, wasn't very talented, it didn't seem like, or at least his talent had not been tapped into yet. And he took that man, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he transformed him into another person. And he went out and fulfilled all that God had for them to fulfill. I don't know where you are today, but I can tell you this, no matter where you are today, no matter where you're feeling today, no matter how you feel about yourself today, no matter how depressed or downtrodden, or if even if you're in good spirits, I just want you to know today that God, you are a valiant warrior under Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about in the spirit, fighting for the souls of people and standing and building the kingdom of God. Your life is important. You are a valiant warrior under the anointing of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. God has called you. He has a plan for your life. He's going to transform you. He's going to use you for the kingdom of God if you'll let him do that. Let Jesus make you a valiant warrior today. Let him work inside of you. Let him transform you. But realize this, that no matter what you're, where you're from, what you've been through in life, struggles you've had in life, God looks, I believe, he looks at you and says, oh, valiant warrior. Oh, woman of God. Oh, man of God. You may not feel like it today, but that's what you are. You may not feel good about yourself. You may not feel good about your circumstances, but that's what you are according to this word. In Christ Jesus, all things are possible to him who believes. He's a transforming, he's a powerful God, and no matter what's happening, as we sing that song, his promises are yes and amen to you today. He sees you. He knows you. He knows where you are. He's intimately acquainted with all your ways. And I believe today we all have a little bit of that Gideon in us, don't we? A little bit of fear, a little bit of doubt. But yet we can overcome that, and we can be the valiant warrior that God's called us to be. Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are our God. I thank you, Jesus, for the example of Gideon to us, that in the midst of his weakness, in the midst of his struggle, in the midst of his failures, his doubts, his fears, that you used him to save a nation. You used him to transform a people. You used him to impact the world to do so much so that it's recorded here in this word. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. I pray for the people here today. As the Bible says, as we are singing, as I mentioned, his promises are yes and amen. Today, if you got some stuff you're going through, I just want you to know I believe Jesus wants to touch you this morning. I believe he wants to impact you, wants to encourage you this morning. Maybe there's been some hurts and disappointments, some battles, some struggles. Maybe you're not going through any of those things, but you've got some important decisions that you've got to make. You've got important things in your life that you're going to have to make some decisions on and you've got to pursue on. I'm believing today that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and will reveal to you the steps you're to take, Lord. I pray that you'd open up every door, Lord Jesus, that you would open up every door and close every door you have for the people, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. If you just want to raise your hand, if you just say, Lady, I've just been discouraged, I've been battling, I just got a lot on my mind, I need Jesus to help me right now. If that's you, just raise your hand. Father, I pray for all these folks here, Lord. Help them this morning. Strengthen them, Lord God. Let them know that you're with them. Let them know that your hand is on them. Let them know that you love them, that you appreciate them, Lord Jesus, and that your eye is upon them, Lord Jesus. Lord, encourage them today. Let them know that you care for them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.